Okay, praise the Lord, we are here taking a little diversion from our Book of John series, because as we found in the latter part of chapter 1 of John, some confusion about the different callings of the apostles, and so I wanted to cover that today. And then next week we'll be back in John chapter 2. And that's probably going to be a two-part message as well, covering John chapter 2. Before we go into that, though, the calling of the 12 apostles this week, we're going to quickly cover a few things from last week in John chapter 1, verses 29 to 51. Can anybody give me some things that they got from the teaching last week they remember, or if you want to refer back to your notes, that's fine. Or the Bible. Anyone? So we saw John the Baptist proclaiming the light of the world, right? The proclamation there. And what is notably missing in John chapter 1 is the actual baptism. You don't see that in John chapter 1. We just see the proclamation, "Behold the Lamb of God." And then we see a narrative about people following. Some apostles following, and John the apostle records that he and I believe it's Andrew, and then goes on to other disciples who would become ordained or appointed apostles, like we'll see in the teaching today. And for a total of five there. Apostles, we have Nathaniel, we have Simon Peter. Who else do we have in that calling from John chapter 1? Anybody remember? Philip, okay, good. And Philip, you think of Philip the evangelist, he's always going around calling people, right, to the kingdom. And who else, I'm sorry? Nathaniel, so Philip, Nathaniel, Peter.
Andrew.
And then John we know as the unnamed, or we believe as the unnamed disciple or guy that would be appointed an apostle in those five. Okay? And then we'll see in today's teaching, we'll see a total of seven who would be called or named before the final ordination or calling of all the 12 apostles that we'll get into today's teaching. Okay, so in this part of John chapter 1, we have really, it's a kind of a zooming out of a telescope. The telescoping I'm talking about is that in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, we see a general statement of John the Baptist calling, proclaiming the Lamb of God. We see the baptism, and then Jesus goes out in the desert for 40 days. Okay? So that's a telescoping in of a situation. Then in John, we have this zooming out kind of idea, where here's the proclamation Lamb of God, and here's some little details that are happening that we didn't see before of what happens in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. Okay, you follow what I'm saying? This is kind of an important idea to get in our minds and hearts as we get into the teaching today. Okay. There was a little controversy about something I taught last week. I want to straighten it out. And that is in verse 32 of chapter 1, I asserted John testified he saw the Holy Ghost descend upon Jesus and stay there. My assertion was that this would be before Jesus was baptized by John. I cannot prove that. Okay, look at verse 32 with me in John chapter 1. John the Baptist testified that he saw the Holy Ghost descending upon Jesus. Now the controversy came in that one of our members said, well, that was during the baptism. And like I said, we don't see the baptism outlined here in John 1. It's outlined in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. But I asserted during that teaching that This would be before Jesus is baptized by John. That's how John the Baptist knew this is the guy to baptize, because he saw the Holy Spirit descending upon him. Now, I still assert that it could have been that way. I just don't know from the record that it was that way. But something, nay, I'll say it a different way, someone told John the Baptist, this is the one. So he may not have seen the Spirit descending like I asserted, but somehow John the Baptist figured out, this is the guy whose sandal I'm not worthy to unlatch. Make sense? So if John the Baptist, because he would have to know it. I mean, obviously if he's going to baptize this guy and the Spirit's going to descend upon him, and his baptism is going to reveal that this is the Messiah. This is the guy that we've been looking for, that Moses spoke about in the law, and the one we've been waiting to save Israel. Somehow John the Baptist has to have confirmation before he baptizes him. Okay? And that was really the point I was trying to make in that passage. And my conclusion of last week's teaching was that John the Baptist, Andrew, Philip, and Nathaniel all had supernatural revelations which led them to believe that Jesus was the Messiah of Israel taught by Moses and the prophets. And so that, with that, I'll end the cover of last week's teaching, and we'll start in with this week's teaching. This week's teaching is The Calling of the 12 Apostles. That's the title of the teaching, The Calling of the 12 Apostles. The Gospels contain very very explicit records of these callings, but they seem to contradict themselves in places, so it can be very confusing. And the key to understanding the callings of the apostles is to understand all four Gospels together. And we'll see that for your Bible studying, as you grow and mature in the faith, that you'll oftentimes need to do this when you are reading through a passage in John or Mark or Luke or Matthew, that you'll want to compare that passage with what is written in the other Gospels. Because here's a direct revelation of what Jesus did in his life. And the whole focus of the Christian faith is centered upon Jesus. Would everybody agree with that? And so with him being the center of our faith and the object of our faith, then we should want to understand as best as we can everything he said about himself through the apostles as they wrote down by the Holy Spirit. Okay, so we're going to read through some passages here, and those passages are, and I would record these if I were you, Matthew chapter 4, verses 17 to 22. Matthew chapter 4, verses 17 to 22. And Joshua Gruguska, I'm going to ask you to read that passage. Mark chapter 1, verses 16 to 20. Mark chapter 1, verses 16 to 20. Daniel, that'll be your passage to read. Luke chapter 5, verses 4 to 11. Brother Seth, that'll be you. And John chapter 1, which is what we were studying last week, verses 36 to John chapter 2, verse 2, I will read. Okay, and on that note, and guys, try to keep in mind that we need you to read nice and loud and clear so the microphone can pick you up.
Hey, Matthew 4, 17 to 22. From that time, Jesus began to preach and to say, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brothers, Simon called Peter, and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. Then he said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." They immediately left their nets and followed him. Going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James the son of Zebedee, and John his brother, in the boat with Zebedee, their father, mending their nets. He called them, And immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him.
Good. Daniel, please.
Now as he walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew's brother casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And Jesus said unto them, Come ye after me, and I will make you to become fishers of men. And straightway they forsook their nets and followed him. And when he had gone a little farther thence, he saw James the son of Zebedee, and John his brother, who also were in the ship mending the nets. And straightway he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the ship with the hired servants, and went after him.
Okay, good. Thank you, Seth. Luke 5:4-11, please.
Yes, sir. But Jesus answered him, saying, It is written, Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. Then the devil taking him up on a high mountain showed him all the kingdoms.
Hang on a second, son. Hang on. I get that wrong. I thought Luke 5. What did I quote? Luke chapter 5, please, Seth. Go ahead.
When he had stopped speaking, he said to Simon, Launch out unto the deep and let down your nets for a catch. But Simon answered and said to him, Master, we have toiled all night and caught nothing. Nevertheless, at your word, I will let down the net. And when they had done this, they caught a great number of fish, and their net was breaking. So they signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both the boats so that they became to sink. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. For he and all who were with him were astonished at the catch of fish which he had taken. And so also were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, Do not be afraid, from now on you will catch men. So when they had brought their boats to land, they forsook all and followed him.
Okay, so I'm going to take a minute there before I go on to read John 1. And my supposition is these three accounts are the same time. Okay? These three accounts in Matthew, Mark, and Luke are all the same time. It's the same players. The same four are being called by Jesus. But in Luke, we see a lot more detail than we saw in Matthew or Mark. There's a lot more detail. So when it says we'll just take Mark chapter 1, verse 20. It says, straightway he called them and they left their father Zebedee in the ship. Okay? Or in Matthew chapter 4, verse 22, it says, they immediately left the ship and their father and followed him. So now in Luke, we're getting a lot more information where Jesus is telling Simon, launch in the deep and catch some fish. They've been out toiling all night. Then Peter makes a confession, and then we see James and John, which are partners with Simon Peter, and said unto Simon, Fear not, henceforth thou shalt catch men. And when they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all and followed him. So this telescoping I've been talking about, here's an area where we see telescoping. So Matthew and Mark has just a general point, an idea, where in Luke we zoom back a little bit, we see, oh, there's a lot more going on when they immediately left their fishing occupation. Okay? So they were called, but there was something that happened, very dramatic miracle. And this miracle is important because if someone is called by the Lord into full-time ministry, one of the first questions they ask is, how am I going to take care of my family? And so Jesus demonstrates the supernatural power of himself after they, having toiled all night and caught nothing, let down your net, and they have a net full of fish that they, you know, would probably be weeks or a month's supply for their families. That God will supernaturally provide when you answer the call of God on your life, God is going to supply. And we've seen that in our lives where We seek the Lord, we step out in faith, and boom, the Lord answers and makes provision for his people. Amen? Okay. Now let me read John chapter 1, verse 36 to John chapter 2, verse 2. And looking upon Jesus as he walked, he says, "Behold the Lamb of God." And the two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. Then Jesus turned and saw them following, and said to them, "What seek ye?" And they said unto him, "Rabbi," which is to say, being interpreted, "Master, where dwellest thou?" And he said unto them, "Come and see." They came and saw where he dwelt, and abode with him for that day. It was about the 10th hour. One of the two which heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first finds his own brother Simon, says unto him, "We have found the Messiah," which is being interpreted, the Christ. He brought him to Jesus, and when Jesus beheld him, said, "Thou art Simon, the son of Jonah. Thou shalt be called Cephas," which is by interpretation a stone. The day following, Jesus would go forth into Galilee, finding Philip, saith unto him, follow me. Now Philip was of Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip finds Nathanael, says unto him, "We have found him of whom Moses, the law, the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." Nathanael said unto him, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" Philip says to him, "Come and see." Jesus saw Nathanael coming to him and said unto him, "Behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom is no guile." Nathanael said unto him, "Whence knowest thou me?" Jesus answered and said unto him, "Before that Philip called thee, thou was under the fig tree, I saw thee." Nathanael answered and said unto him, "Rabbi, thou art the Son of God, thou art the King of Israel." So Jesus answered and said unto him, "Because I said unto thee, I saw thee under the fig tree, believest thou? Thou shalt see greater things than these." He saith unto them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, hereafter you shall see heaven open, angels of God ascending, descending upon the Son of Man." John chapter 2, verses 1 to 2. And the third day there was a marriage in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there, and both Jesus was called and his disciples to the marriage. So we see something in particularly left out in the John account, and that is the baptism of Jesus. It's like, behold the Lamb of God, now Jesus is ministering in Cana of Galilee, doing his first miracle with the making of the water into wine. What happened? It's like something got left out. But it wasn't left out. The other gospel accounts record it. We already talked about telescoping. And another place that we'll see telescoping in today's teaching is Matthew 10, where Jesus names and ordains all the apostles. Up to that point in Matthew 10, we only find seven apostles, disciples mentioned being called to Jesus. That's an important point. It's probably going to be on your test at the end of this study. Up to the point in Matthew 10 where Jesus is on the mountain praying, and he calls to himself the 12, and ordains them and appoints them as apostles, there's only seven that are mentioned in Scripture. Now, I'm not asserting that there wasn't other things that were being happening during his time of ministry up to that point. I'm simply saying that the Gospels don't record anything else but the seven. Okay? We know from Scriptures there were many other disciples that were following, thousands of people following by this time. And we'll get into that later in this teaching. In fact, I'm going to go through each gospel account to kind of give a summary of what happened. Let me just go ahead and get into that now, the understanding of the events in light of the chronology of the callings. The Matthew account, which we read, Matthew 4, 12 to 22, John the Baptist proclaims Jesus. Jesus is baptized. The Holy Spirit descends. The Father approves. Jesus is compelled to the desert for 40 days of battle. John the Baptist is imprisoned, and Jesus begins his ministry preaching in Galilee, Capernaum. Jesus calls Peter, Andrew, and James, and John from their boats. Jesus calls Matthew. Some period events of ministry later, all 12 disciples are ordained and named. in the Mark account, chapter 1, to, verses 16 to 20. John the Baptist proclaims Jesus. Jesus is baptized. Holy Spirit descends. Father approves. Jesus immediately compelled to the desert for 40 days of battle. John the Baptist in prison. Then Jesus begins his ministry preaching in Galilee, Capernaum. Jesus calls Peter, Andrew, James, and John from their boats. Jesus calls Matthew. Some period of events of ministry later, all 12 disciples are ordained and named. Luke account. This is Luke chapter 3, all the way through verses chapter 5, verses 4 to 11. John the Baptist proclaims Jesus. Jesus is baptized. Holy Spirit descends. Father approves. Jesus compelled to the desert for 40 days of battle. John the Baptist in prison. Then Jesus begins his ministry preaching in Galilee, Capernaum. Jesus calls Peter, Andrew, James, and John from their boats. Jesus calls Matthew. Some period events of ministry later, all 12 disciples are named. John's account. John the Baptist proclaims Jesus. Note the missing part. There's no part about the baptism in John. Five disciples follow, inquire. They are John, Philip, Peter, Andrew, and Nathaniel. Jesus is baptized. Holy Spirit descends. Father approves. Now, I insert that, though it's not recorded there. Jesus compelled to the desert for 40 days of battle. John the Baptist in prison. Then Jesus begins his ministry preaching in Galilee, Capernaum. Jesus calls Peter, Andrew, James, and John from their boats. Some period of events of ministry. Later, all 12 disciples are named apostles. So when we read all four Gospels, we can see a clearer account in that there's places where things are added, details are added, or left out, and we go, well, what's happening? Is this a different event, or is this the same event? That's why it's important to, and I would recommend everybody to have what's termed a chain-link Bible. In a chain-link Bible, like this one here, it'll give other chapters, other books, chapters, and verses that are related to a particular verse or verses. So as I look down here, I'm looking at Luke chapter 12, verse 6, and it says, see Matthew 10:29. And I can immediately go to that verse and see how that compares to the other and how that chronology or how those events are synoptic and working together to explain the life and ministry of Jesus Christ. All right. The key to the records in Matthew, Mark, and Luke is the Gospel of John. And as I was saying, finally, all 12 are called and ordained as apostles on the mountain after some period of ministry with many disciples. And as I alluded to already, the last calling of the four disciples was associated with that great miracle of provision of the fish. Matthew would be called while he was doing his work sometime during Jesus' ministry before the final ordination or calling of Jesus by the 12. Or calling by Jesus of the 12, excuse me. I have gone through the Gospels very carefully to make sure I could not find any other apostles' callings other than the seven that I've mentioned. And they are, let me go over them again, John, who is unnamed in John 1, yet easily assumed, Andrew, Simon Peter, Philip, Nathaniel, James, John, and Matthew. And to quickly cover the account of Matthew's calling, or Levi, is also called Levi. Matthew chapter 9, verse 9, and as Jesus passed forth from thence, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the receipt of custom, and saith unto him, follow me, and he arose and followed him. Mark chapter 2, verse 14, Brother Joshua Griguska, if you would. Mark chapter 2, verse 14. And Daniel, you're going to have Luke 5, 27 to 29. Mark 2, 14 and Luke 5, 27 to 29. This is Matthew's calling, also called Levi. Go ahead, brother.
As he passed by, he saw Levi, the son of Alphaeus, sitting at the tax office. And he said to him, follow me. So he arose and followed him.
Thank you.
And after these things, he went forth and saw a publican named Levi sitting at the receipt of custom. And he said unto him, Follow me. And he left all, rose up, and followed him. And Levi made him a great feast in his own house. And there was a great company of publicans and of others that sat down with him.
Oh, wow. So here in Luke, we see more information about Matthew's calling. There's some added information. So there's a zooming out of that telescope that I've been talking about this whole teaching, right? So in the first two, the verses of Matthew chapter 9, verse 10, and Mark chapter 2, verse 15, it says there's a great feast. It doesn't say all the details about who threw the feast. The feast was given by Levi. A great feast of publicans and sinners. And others that sat down with Jesus. Now I want to get into the passages that talk about the calling and ordination of the apostles, all 12 apostles. And I'm going to give you the verses for that, if you're ready. It's Matthew chapter 10, verses 1 to 7. Mark chapter 3, verses 13 to 19. And Luke chapter 6, verses 12 to 16. And I'm sorry, that's that. Luke chapter 6, verse 12 to 16. Mark chapter 3, verse 13 to 19. And Matthew chapter 10, verses 1 to 7.
Did you say 14 to 19?
13 to 19. Okay, Seth, you ready?
Yes.
Matthew chapter 10, please, verses 1 to 7. How you doing, son?
Good.
All right? Okay. Long night?
Yeah. 12 hours.
Yeah. I won't ask you to read unless you want to. Okay. Well, I see you're playing with Lydia. That's fine. You keep doing that. Go ahead, sir.
Yes. Then he arose from there and came to the region of Judah, by the other side of the Jordan.
Matthew chapter 10. Verses 1 to 7, please. Matthew 10, 1 to 7. Yeah.
And when he had called his 12 disciples to him, he gave them power over unclean spirits to cast them out, and to heal all kinds of sickness and all kinds of disease. Now the names of the 12 apostles are these first: Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, Philip and Bartholomew, Thomas and Matthew, the tax collector, James, the son of
Alphaeus,
and Levius, whose surname was
Thaddeus,
Simon the Canaanite, and Judas Iscariot, who also betrayed him. These twelve Jesus sent out and commanded them, saying, Do not go into the way of the Gentiles, and do not enter the city of the Samaritans, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, and as you go, preach, saying, The kingdom of heaven is at hand.
Okay, and I'll read from Mark chapter 3, verse 13 to 19. And he goeth up into a mountain, and calleth unto him whom he would, and they came unto him, and he ordained 12, that they should be with him, that he might send them forth to preach, and have power to heal sicknesses and cast out devils. And Simon he surnamed Peter, and James the son of Zebedee, John the brother of James, he surnamed them Boanerges, that is the sons of thunder, and Andrew, and Philip, and Bartholomew, and Matthew, and Thomas, and James, the son of Alphaeus, and Thaddeus, and Simon the Canaanite, and Judas Iscariot, which also betrayed him, and they went into an house. Okay, Luke chapter 6, verse 12 to 16, Brother Josh.
Now it came to pass in those days that he went out to the mountain to pray, and continued all night in prayer to God. And when it was day, he called his disciples to himself, and from them he chose 12, whom he also named apostles: Simon, whom he also named Peter, and Andrew his brother, James and John, Philip and Bartholomew, Matthew and Thomas, James the son of Alphaeus, and Simon called the Zealot, Judas the son of James, and Judas Iscariot, who also became a traitor.
Okay, good, thank you. So here we see the apostles named, called, or called and named, outlined in these three passages from the Gospels. And it gets a little confusing because you see different, like Matthew's Levi and Thaddeus and Lebbeus and these other names. We don't really think of those guys much, you know. Their names aren't familiar as Peter and James and John, the sons of thunder. Those are really familiar characters in the Gospel accounts. So we want to make sure that we don't discount those guys either, because they would, like Thomas the Doubter, right? He's always known for doubting after Jesus's resurrection. But they all had other roles that were recorded in the Scriptures. So
they were fruit.
Right.
They were apostles.
They were approved, they were ordained, that's right, as apostles. They just weren't gambled for it. But they were actually approved by Jesus himself. Okay, I want to talk a little bit about John the Baptist, where and when he went to jail. It would have been, John the Baptist would have been rebuking Herod sometime during Jesus's time at 40 days out in the wilderness. And as Jesus returns from the wilderness, John the Baptist, we see in John chapter 3, verse 22 to 26, I won't read through that, but we see in that passage that John is not yet cast into prison. I don't think it's long after that passage that John is cast into prison, because in the other accounts we see kind of a chronology of that. That Jesus comes out of the desert. He comes into the land of Galilee, the area of Galilee, Capernaum, and John is there for a time, and then Jesus begins his ministry. Other things that are coupled with Jesus' beginning his ministry is John the Baptist decreasing, and he ends up in prison. Then he has his head cut off sometime later. We don't know how long it is, but we do know that there's an interrogative between John the Baptist's disciples and Jesus: are you the one? And Jesus tells, go back to John and tell him that we're healing, that there's healing, all these things that are spoken of in the prophets are being fulfilled by me. And so John the Baptist would be assured before his death that Jesus was the one. So even John the Baptist had some doubting going on. All right. In Matthew chapter 14, verses 8 to 11, and Mark 6, 25 to 28, records the event of John the Baptist's beheading. Luke chapter 7, verses 16 to 23. I just want to read through this passage with you. Then fear came upon all, and they glorified God, saying, a great prophet has risen up among us, and God has visited his people. Verse 17. And this report went about him went throughout all Judea and all the surrounding region. Then the disciples of John reported to him concerning all these things, and John, calling two of his disciples to him, sent them to Jesus, saying, are you the coming one, or do we look for one after? And when the men had come to him, they said, John the Baptist sent us to you, saying, are you the coming one, or do we look for another? And that very hour Jesus, he, cured many infirmities, afflictions, evil spirits, and to many blind he gave sight. And Jesus answered and said unto them, go and tell John the things you have seen and heard. The blind see, the lame walk, lepers cleansed, deaf hear, and the dead are raised. The poor have the gospel preached to them. And blessed is he who is not offended because of me. So Jesus is, by supernatural things that he's doing, proving to the disciples of John that yes, he is the one. He is the one that was coming after John. He is the Messiah of Israel. One thing I didn't speak about that I wanted to note before we conclude, and that is that during the ordination and calling of the disciples as apostles, They were given the power to heal, cast out devils, and these things. And note that Judas Iscariot was among them. At that time, Judas Iscariot was given power by the Holy Spirit to do supernatural things. And here's a very important point. He told them to go not into the world, go not to Samaria, but to go to Israel. It wouldn't be until later, after they were anointed the Holy Spirit again in the upper room in the book of Acts, do we see them being told to go out and hold, let me back up a step. In Acts chapter 1 and Mark chapter 16, where Jesus tells the disciples to go into the whole world. They're anointed in the upper room 40 days after his ascension. They then go out preaching in the power of the Holy Ghost and doing supernatural things to the whole world, not just to Israel. But Jesus had come to Israel first. He appointed the apostles to go to Israel first, and then later on unto the whole world, which would include the Gentiles. Okay. And on that note, my conclusions are what I've said previously during this teaching. When we're studying out a particular passage or issue in the Gospels, particularly, to make sure that you go to the other accounts of the same event and make sure you get all the information. And you don't just take a verse or take a few verses and say, oh, well, this is what God means, without understanding with clarity all the passages that God expects us to apply to our thinking, to our hearts. Okay. Any questions, objections, things that people would want to have brought forth? Josh, we talked about that little controversy that we had from last week about my assertion, not controversy, I said controversy though, that I had asserted that John the Baptist saw the Spirit come upon Jesus before the baptism, and I couldn't prove that from Scripture, so I retract that, and retracted that idea. So, okay? All right, praise the Lord.